And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Acts and in chapter 1. Acts and chapter 1. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we just again have opened your word that we might understand and exercise your wonderful presence with some better understanding and practical realism. And our God, we're going to thank you. So here we are. Help us to understand your word. Spirit of God, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And in our exercise together, we had shared the last time looking at this a little bit in a different way. But now here in the book of Acts and in chapter 1, and you'll remember that they were told that they were to be, wait, you couldn't do anything till after the resurrection. Christ had to go and be seated at the right hand of God, and the Spirit of God would then make possible all of the benefits and all that God had made possible on Calvary's cross. So, and therefore we read in verse 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, not before it. You don't have any power before. You have power afterwards. And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and it will produce and make what? You shall be my witnesses, my way, my little lighthouses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, and the word power, ability, can do. You can do, he can do, can, C-A-N, ableness, power, ability. So, that's the word. So, he's going to give us, the Spirit of God is going to give to the believing heart power, ability to can, to be able to do what? To do whatever. So that otherwise, the Spirit of God, apart from him, we aren't going to do anything. So, looking just to see it a little bit, as you turn the pages of the New Testament, you're going to expect to see what? You're going to expect to see God's wonderful outworking so that you could be his witness, a witness to who he is. And he's going to give you the power, the ability, so that you can do it. So as we turn, let's see how it goes. Now, firstly, you want to keep in mind 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. Picking up, if I may. And you'll remember. 1 Corinthians 2. And going, if I may, and as you know, the Spirit of God's ministry is to take the Word of God and make it all practical and real and helpful. Therefore, verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom preacher teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. So that's why we're reading what he has given to us. And comparing spiritual things with spiritual, we're reading all about what he has made possible, power. But, verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why not? But they are foolishness unto him, neither can. There's your little word, power. Power, can, ability to do. Neither can, they have no power. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They can't. They don't have any, the unsaved don't have any power. And keep going, chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 1, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, fleshly, as unto babes in Christ. Do you see the word could? C-O-U-L-D, could, power, 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 ability, power, can, to do something. You could not speak. I could not speak. And again, verse 2, I have fed you with milk, not with meat. For reason, hitherto you were not able, can, power, to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. You're not able to do this. You're not able to do it. And therefore, we understand chapter 1 and chapter 1 and verse 18, and you'll note, for the preaching of the cross to them that is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power, ability, can. You can do it. You can do it. He's going to give power, Acts 1:8, to be his witness that he was crucified and he rose again. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and you know if you turn to Romans 8 for a moment, and Romans chapter 8, just to remind you of the locking that in a little better, Romans 8, what we're talking about is power, ability, that the Spirit of God has to provide. We don't do it. We can't do it. And to lock it in, Romans in chapter 8, if I can, sliding down, you'll catch it in context, in verse 5. 8:5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, Spirit of God. For reason, to be carnally, fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can, it's not able to be. Verse 8, so then, they that are in the flesh can not, it isn't, they are not able, they don't have the power to please God. They don't have the power to do so. But if you slide over to chapter 15, and on your way back, you may, on your way, just slide over to chapter 8, over to verse, to see it in context, verse 38, about the God's, your wonderful relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, shall be able, there's your word, power, to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, not to separate us. So, as you keep reading, God is telling you what he can and what you can't do. So it isn't a question, are you able? Yes, I am, as a believer. We are able to do all that God has made us able for. That's some of it. I can't do it. You can't do it. But what God enables us, the Spirit of God is going to give you his ableness, his power. So therefore, over to chapter 15. And in chapter 15, picking up, if I may, you'll catch it as you know it. Chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that purpose, you may abound in hope. Now, how can we have any of that? Through the power, ability, God's ability, power. There's your little word, power of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power from the where? From the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make all of that work in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Over, if I can, to 2 Corinthians. And all we're doing is just reminding each other by this little bit of exercise of that the Spirit of God has promised you, he's committed himself to make it possible for you to be able to do, able to be what he has planned for you. So it isn't in us, we can't do it. So therefore, when you read 2 Corinthians, if you can, in chapter 1, and you remember verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Who? Encouragement. Verse 4, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that... Why do we go through what we go through? Why do we have to go through just being on earth in this body that ages? Why do we have to do that? Why? Anyway, you start off little baby with nice pure skin and everything, and you get old and it goes the other way. And you have to sort of stay in the middle. You would like to stay in the middle, but you can't stay in the middle. So God, as we go through just the being alive on planet Earth, as we do that and we're aging and all the different things that we have to do, God, you're able to go. And as we go through it, and we do go through it and have to go through it, then he's able to go in verse 4 that we may be able, that he, we may be able, power to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort with wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So God, as you keep reading, it's wonderful. God makes us able. That's why we have to go through what we go through. We have to learn it. And God, it's God's way. Because flesh and blood, 1 Corinthians 15, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so therefore, and the world needs to know that. So we keep not looking for the fountain of youth somewhere. We're not doing that. So now, and thus, using Corinthians, look at verse 8, sliding down. So Paul, that's why Paul went through all kinds of things. He faced death many times. That sent many times compared, I'm sure. Verse 8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of this trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength. There's your word power, strength, power, can, ability. We couldn't do it. It was beyond our ability. The conditions and what we were facing, even unto death itself, we could not do a thing about what was happening as we were going through, dying, being clipped, stoned and everything else, shipwrecked. Now, verse 8 again, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. We were going and you had no hope. We had no hope to do anything. We couldn't fix anything. The conditions were there and we were going through them physically, etc. Now, verse 9. But in the process of it all, We trusted, Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the to be his witness. And verse 9, 1 and 9, but we had the sentence, the answer of death in ourselves. We reckon ourselves dead and alive in Christ Jesus. But we had the answer, the sentence of death in ourselves, that purpose. We should not trust in ourselves, but in God that raiseth the dead. We should trust in God, verse 10, who delivered us from greater death. And he is delivering us, whom we trust that he will yet continue to deliver us. So God's wonderful, wonderful working. God. So here's the Apostle Paul, his life being an example to see, and Paul is going through terribly hard times often. Think of 2 Corinthians as you read, chapter 11, etc. Boy, did he go through it in all kinds of ways, even being not disappointed, depressed, all of that he had to face. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, in the light of that, chapter 4. And what is Paul's encouraging word, God's encouraging word to us? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and you know, verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God, we've been doing all of those things. God in you. God in his wonderful grace. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, now, verse 7, where is this power? Where is the Lord Jesus Christ? We're his witness. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency, that which is beyond, out of our reach, the excellency of the power, the ability to can do, to be can. We have this power that is beyond explanation. Why? Because it's the power of God. So there is no limit to anything. So God, what are you saying? In verse 7, but the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's why we're in frail bodies of dust. So we can't fix everything, do everything. We're very frail, very frail. And we get little bugs, bacteria, bugs can put you down with the flu and all kinds of things. All kinds of things can happen in us and in us, but we're powerless to do anything unless the drugs come along and we can take the pill. But without the pill's only camouflaging our condition. That's all it's doing, the pill, trying to keep it so we don't feel it or know it. Now, so in the process of all of that, looking at it, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and therefore chapter 12. And in chapter 12, and you will note, by chapter 12, the Apostle Paul is going to even say it easier for us. 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, picking up, if I may, chapter 12, picking up in verse 8. But this thing, Paul's physical problem, God doesn't take it away. God gave it to him to keep him what? Earthly. To make sure he keeps in mind he's a vessel of dust. Don't forget, it isn't you. You're a vessel of dust. And when you think you're so good, do you know whoever you are? If you get the right bug gets you better. Do you know I don't care who you are? If that bug can get you, boy, can that put you down, put you out of business, can't it? if you want to get really sick. I don't care who you are. Boy, can you get sick. Can you get sick? Absolutely. So don't forget the body in which you live in. Now, and therefore, verse 9, and he said unto me, God's, Paul, God would like to, Paul said, I'd like to get rid of this. My grace is sufficient, is enough for thee. For my strength is made. There's your word, power. My strength, my power. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. For my strength, my power, is made perfect in weakness, in your vessel, being a vessel of dust. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. So therefore, I'm not going to complain about it. We may be about like in chapter 1 and verse 8, where we were just struggling to stay alive. We weren't sure. We knew we couldn't do it, but God in his grace did it in his most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, I'm going to stop a minute and tie that together if I can, because I'm afraid of time going. Time goes. Now, so therefore, if you keep in mind, if you would over in your 1 Corinthians, or if you can to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians right next door, and in chapter 12. And 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, and you would recall all about being baptized, 12 and 13, baptized, placed into the body of Christ, a wonderful, wonderful, awesome position that you have in Christ, not in yourself, we have it in his wonderful person, so that we all in Christ enjoy God's saving grace in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And we're to do so as his body, to be a witness to who he is. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and remember verse 18, but now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it had pleased him. So when you come to the Lord as a Savior, God, the Spirit of God's ministry in his power, places you in the body of Christ, in the big body, the one body. This is a local body. Each local body in the New Testament is completely independent. In other words, Antioch is totally independent in Ephesus. Ephesus is totally independent of Laodicea. So whatever Laodicea does, Ephesus doesn't need to do it, and vice versa. Because each local body represents the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not talking about our churches. We're talking about his body. We're believers, and not churchgoers. Believers are gathered together in his name. And therefore, 1 Corinthians, God places them in the body. Verse 22, I'll have to read a little context. Well, I can't even do that. Verse 22, nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. All the different parts of your body are fittingly there. They may not ever be everything, but they were there, and the body is there. There's parts of it, your fingernails or something, every part of body, even your appendix is a wonderful piece. A little appendix is a wonderful thing in your body. All of those things are. It's part of your body. God made it. And fortunately, you can take a lot of parts out and still be pretty good. Now, here, it's more feeble. Let me go over, sliding down, if I can. And all the body has, using the physical body, the face doesn't need covering. But clothing is over the rest of, what did Adam and Eve do? they were naked, and God covered them. In their sin, they used fig leaves. They have to get covered. Their nakedness, their flesh, your old nature covers. You're covered. So, without reading all of that, our body parts are covered. Comely. The face doesn't need covering. It's meant to be that way. But your body does. And especially your other parts of your body always have covering. You may not have a shirt, or you may not have something special, whatever, but your special parts of your body, sexually and that, they're covered. They're covered. That's what you have in verse 23, verse 24. Now, verse 25, that there should be no schism, division in the body, but that the same members should have the same care one for another. One for another. For whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now we are the body of Christ, the members in particular, especially individually so. Now, so what are we saying, verse 26? All the members of the body, and you know that from your own body. If you have an appendicitis attack, you're going to know it. If you have a stomach problem, you know it. Your body parts, that's what God built it that way. So that you'd what? You'd care for your body. What happens if you get your kidneys or something, and they aren't going to be part of the body? They're in your body, they function, but they're there, but they're just there. No, they aren't just there. As they're there working, if those kidneys aren't working right, it's going to send a message to every other part of the body, to the head, and the head's going to what? Talk about all of your body in a most awesome way to do what God does in the way that he does it. And having said that, so therefore, we all, body, the local body of Christ is like that. One member suffer, we all suffer. Glorified, we're all glorified. It's the body. And you may go away and you have to deal with it. So therefore, we have to go through all these different things in all these different ways. We have to go through them. They belong to the body. Now translate that. What does all that say when you put it together? God in the parts of my body in a most wonderful way. So God, what do we know? When the body's weak, we feel it. When the body's hurting, we feel it. And we have to keep going. We have to keep understanding. It's the body. All the time, Hebrews 4, you don't have to turn there. Hebrews 4:15. Our Lord Jesus Christ bore, he suffered, he can, he went through every single infirmity, weakness, infirmed, weakness, no strength, fall apart, just doesn't work, you're not strong. He went through every feeling and every problem that you and I could ever have so that he could say, I know just what it is to live in a body of sin. I didn't sin. God said, I didn't, of his Lord. I didn't, of the Lord, I didn't sin. But God put me through everything that sinners go through. I bore their sin in my own body. I know all the infirmities that are there. And those infirmities, they're there in that body. And so therefore, when we're talking and keeping that in mind, so when in the local body, all the parts of the body belong together. And when we think of Betty Moroni and each, they line up, Debbie Godwin and Fred, and they line all up. They line up there. And it's very difficult in the cases, in what they're going through and do. They aren't here to help us. We're here representing them. They're part of the body. They're part of the body. If the Lord were to come now, they'd go the same as we'd go. Up, up. That's where they go. Now, and there they are. So they have to understand, they have to go. That's not the same as leaving. Leaving is not the same as having infirmities and being put aside because of functioning. They can't function like they would like to. They can't do what they could do. They can't do that. So therefore, they make a difference. The body is one thing. It's one whole unit, and that unit stays together and goes through everything to grow and to know. That's how God sees it. That's how God, the Spirit of God, is going to enable us to survive as we look to Him. We aren't trying to be part of the system. We just want to understand God's wonderful grace in saving us in a wonderful, wonderful way, to be able to be in the body, to be His witness in the lighthouse, and being in the lighthouse out there. Now, keeping out there, here's the lighthouse out there in the ocean somewhere. And here's the lighthouse. That lighthouse is there. It doesn't move anywhere, no more than Israel did in all of its centuries. Israel was to stay in Palestine, centered in Jerusalem, and that's what the future is in the kingdom. That's what's going to happen. You aren't going to see Israel running all over the world. You're going to see Israel there, bearing witness like a lighthouse. The lighthouse stays lit. Now, and us believers, Philippians chapter 2, us believers are lights. Now, so you see it. Time, I see time. We don't understand time. I hate time. Now, in the process, the lighthouse is there. Now, you're a light bulb. If you can use your, if you're a believer, and God put a spirit in you, and when body, soul, and spirit, when you believed, the Spirit of God came and gave you His one, gave you the wonderful life of Christ, and your spirit became alive, and you became spiritually alive. A relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when does that relationship end? When does it end? I'm going to retire. We're going to retire. And we do. People need to retire in different ways. Can you retire as a believer? When does the life of God in you retire? You never can walk away. You're His witness 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, till you drop dead. And you never retire. You're a believer. Come over with me to Ecclesiastes. And you know, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, I think. Chapter 8. Ecclesiastes, and remind ourselves when we did Ecclesiastes in the process. So God, what have we got? What in the light of looking at human life on planet Earth, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, sliding down, if I can, over to verse 8. There is 8:8 Ecclesiastes. You know it. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit. In other words, you can't say, I'm not going to die, I'm going to live. You can say all you want. God calls the shots. God calls the shots. So you can't say, I'm going to extend my life like this. I take my vitamins and I exercise and take the special pill that's advertised on television, and I doing it. Gonna do it. Gonna do it. You can do all of that. You don't call the shots. You don't die till God does it. Death and life. Revelation 1. Death and life are in his hands. You don't call the shots about death. What else? They have power to retain the spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death. There is no discharge in that war. And as long as you're in the war that I know of, any war, we may get some rest and recreation now and then, but you're in the war, and you don't retire, and you don't go home as long as the war exists. And the war exists. And that's why we don't just say, we're done. You're not done. The war is on. And whether you're able to be in the trench with the others, or whether you have to be back there a little bit, getting medical attention, the war is on. And the war, and that's why we don't celebrate and make a big deal about everything, because we aren't finished yet. We aren't done. We're in the middle of it, all the way to the end. And until the war is over, or you die, you're in the war. And therefore, we aren't making big deals about anything. Because I got to get out of bed tomorrow, and so do you, and face everything all over again. As we're living in these days. So, there's no discharge in the war. Verse 8, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. The war isn't over. There is no discharge. We're going to celebrate. Celebrate. We have nothing to celebrate. We are in business to keep that light lit out there. That's what our job is, to keep the light lit. How are we going to keep the light lit? By abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the power, provides us the power to be lit, to have the life, even if we can't do anything, to have the life in all the college of hard things, to have life. Our time has gone too quickly. I hope you get a little bit to understand something. So you don't understand church isn't a club. It isn't a club where we come to and we join the club. It's not a club. It's not a school. It's a body of believers that represent a person, not 10 persons, one person, our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy. And 2 Timothy again in chapter 4. And you'll remember that if we can. In closing, what are you going to tell us, Paul? Now, Paul, you had a very, very difficult life. And there's no question about it. And God has rescued you. And now you're going to, now Paul, how's Paul going to die? He's going to go to hospice and enjoy a wonderful, nice bed and good food and a blanket. Oh, no, he isn't. No. Nero is waiting to take his head. Nero's standing there. He's sitting there writing 2 Timothy. I'm looking out the window, and there's the thing. I'm going to go to that. Therefore, you got the idea. If I can. Verse 6. I am now ready. 4:6. I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I've done everything all the way to the end as we're supposed to. And we do the best we can supporting each other. And what we others can't do, we got a lot of people that can't, but we can still do. So we that can do, still do on their behalf. I owe them. You owe them. We owe them to stay with it, but not to back off and disappear. No, Our job is to represent him, and they have been put aside for whatever reasons, as difficult as those things are. God knows why. God knows why. And God doesn't tell us why. In fact, God didn't tell Paul why. He never told Paul why, but we can guess why. But Paul said, take it away from me. And God said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. So therefore, verse 8, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. God said, we're waiting for his coming. That's what we're doing. And we're hanging in there. And there are other people that can't even think anymore. They lose. But when they do that, when you need your mind, and you need your mind, and everything in your body when you get older, either different brain, all the membranes and everything are either thickening, getting fatter, parts are getting smaller or bigger. That's in your brain, in your body, in your liver, in your kidneys. It's all getting. It's been there. When you've had the car 25,000 years, don't expect it to run like the same when you got it. It wears out. And when it wears out, you have to live with it. You have to live with the kind of thing. You understand that? And so you have to live with it and go with it and look to God. And you do it. And you hang in there. Because I don't want to have to think, I think of every God one on earth and all the different ones. God. And God. I don't want to get any older if that's going to happen. See? But it could. God knows. God knows. And God, when it happens, the outward body, the membranes and all of that, they aren't working. So it's awful hard to communicate anymore. It's awful hard to think because the stuff's all moving, growing and fat, too big, too small, changing. And you can't fix it. That's your brain. It would be like you're very good at everything. You hit the smartphone and make it do everything you want, right? I'm going to take your smartphone and take all the power away. Now you've got your smartphone and your lap, whatever you call that thing, and the laptop or whatever it is, but it has no power. Now where are you? You want to send a text, a transcript, whatever you call them. You want to send that, but you can't because there's no power. When your brain and head stop, it isn't that you aren't there. You just can't use it. You can't use it, so don't get all upset. God knows the difference. God knows. And we're trusting God as we get down the corridor. And someone may not. You have to help them, but you have to do what you can do, the best you can do. So, having said that, and not having said very much, I hope we got a little bit. We're a body. And literally, I know it's very rare. It's very rare, unfortunately, and not as common as it should be, what we're trying to look at and trying to understand. So as a believer, I may be put out of business, but you that remain, keep going. I may not be able to help you lift the log, but do the best you can. Do the best you can with it. When there was 10 of us, we could carry the log easy. But when there's 5 of us, it's a little harder. But we still have to be in the carry the log. We still have to keep the lighthouse lit. We still have to do it before God. And that's what God's looking for, that a man or woman be found faithful. thou good and faithful servant. I'm looking to hang in there. Say, well, we need. No, you're trusting me. I told you I gave you all my power. I'm going to do everything. And I, by the way, you can do nothing in yourself. It isn't you. You couldn't do a thing. I do it. The power is mine. The ableness is mine. What I'm doing is mine. My work. You trust me in the process. That's what you do. The power. So you're trusting not yourself. You're trusting God's wonderful grace. So, our Father in God, we look to you. Deal with our heads and hearts. Thank you for being your kindness and bearing with us as we just think about things. So help us in every way, and our God will thank you. And we're looking for you to set apart the refreshment downstairs, that for these bodies, that we might exercise just the goodness, God, the treat, to be able to say thank you. Thank you for being and doing, even when we have no refreshments. God, thank you, refreshments or not. Thank you very, very much. Set it all apart, even now, in Christ's name. Amen.